Implementing Brexit, negotiating the withdrawal agreement. The law authorising the Brexit referendum did not actually commit the government to implement the result. The referendum was defined as advisory. However, to try and overcome public distrust of his political motives during the campaign, David Cameron distributed a pamphlet to households across the UK in which the government promised to implement the result of the referendum. The government made no preparations for the possibility of Leave winning the vote. As stated earlier, the referendum was conceived and conducted by the government on the assumption that the Remain side would win comfortably, as it had in 1975. Having led the Remain campaign to defeat on June 23rd, David Cameron resigned as Prime Minister on June 24th, 2016, leaving the implementation of Brexit to his successor. Theresa May was chosen as the new leader of the Conservative Party and appointed Prime Minister with responsibility for delivering Brexit. Having won the vote, Brexit supporters in Parliament and among the general public now demanded that the government proceed as quickly as they could. The legal procedure for leaving the EU is reasonably clear. Any member wishing to leave can invoke Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty, the EU's constitution, by delivering a notice to leave to the European Commission. Once this is delivered, a two-year timetable begins, during which the leaving member negotiates the terms of its exit and its future relationship with the rest of the EU. This two-year transition period doesn't start until the leaving member submits its letter of intent to leave. The supporters of Brexit, the self-styled Brexiteers, were worried that the government would seek to delay Brexit or even cancel it altogether, as Parliament was dominated by politicians who had voted Remain. They therefore wanted the government to commit the UK to Brexit by invoking Article 50 as soon as possible. Theresa May herself had voted Remain and potentially lacked credibility as leader of the government charged with delivering Brexit. In order to demonstrate that she respected the democratic verdict of the referendum and secure support from the Brexiteers within her own party, she announced that the UK government was invoking Article 50 and therefore starting the countdown to Brexit on 29th of March 2017. This gave the UK until 29th March 2019 to negotiate the withdrawal agreement and its future relationship with the rest of the EU. Exactly how the government was to proceed now became problematic. It quickly became apparent that unwinding over 40 years of legal, economic, political, and cultural integration was far more complicated than the public had been led to believe it would be. Making the easiest trade deal in human history, as the Leave campaign had referred to post-Brexit trade negotiations with the EU, was anything but easy. To begin with, the UK government had no idea of what it wanted its future relationship with the EU to be, and therefore no idea about how to engage in negotiations with the EU. It seems obvious in hindsight, but the government's decision to invoke Article 50 before they had a plan for the future was a grave error. Theresa May's ability to shape the debate in Parliament was badly damaged when she decided to call a snap general election in June 2017. May had been led by opinion polls to believe that her Conservative Party would easily win the election. With a stronger government, she hoped that her negotiating hand would be strengthened and that her government would have a clear mandate to pursue its Brexit. However, following a politically inept campaign, her Conservative Party performed dreadfully at the election. Although they remained the largest party in Parliament, they lost their majority and now relied on the support of other parties to pass legislation. This weakened May's negotiating position in the British Parliament. It strengthened the hands of those who wished to cut ties with the EU completely, the so-called hard Brexiteers, and those who wished to minimise the impact of Brexit or avoid Brexit altogether. These factions could now demand more concessions from the government in return for their support. But there was no way the government could satisfy the demands of one group and also keep the support of the other groups. In parliamentary terms, Brexit was now a circle that could not be squared. There was no way the government could find a form of withdrawal agreement that Parliament would pass. Before negotiations about the future UK-EU relationship could begin, the EU insisted that an agreement be reached over the divorce settlement. The so-called withdrawal agreement detailed the various obligations that needed to be addressed before the separation was agreed. For example, agreement needed to be reached on the rights of the many EU citizens living and working in the UK and UK citizens living in the EU. Their post-Brexit legal status had to be guaranteed. Then there was the matter of the UK's financial obligations to the EU. Eventually, the UK agreed to a divorce settlement of £39 billion. On 14th November 2018, the UK government published a 585-page withdrawal agreement that detailed exactly how the UK would exit the EU. It provided for a transition period during which the UK would maintain its current trading relationship with the EU as it negotiated its long-term future relationship. The withdrawal agreement was to be legally binding, but a separate statement concerning the negotiation of the future relationship was merely a political declaration of intentions with no legal force. The withdrawal agreement was ratified by the other 27 EU member governments and the UK government. It would have come into effect on March 29, 2019, if it were not for the fact that the UK government was required by UK law to submit the agreement for the approval of the UK Parliament. The agreement faced stiff opposition in the House of Commons. The hard Brexiters claimed that the agreement kept the UK too closely aligned with the EU. On the other hand, those who were wary of the economic costs of leaving the EU's single market claimed that the agreement did not do enough to guarantee the UK access to European markets. Together, these groups defeated the agreement in the House of Commons on three separate occasions, requiring the government to go back to the EU to try and renegotiate the deal. However, the EU has been unwilling to do this. Theresa May's inability to get parliamentary support for her withdrawal agreement stalled Brexit. Unable to find an acceptable deal, the government has extended the Article 50 exit period twice. At the time of writing, the UK is due to leave the EU on October 31st, 2019, but the possibility of the UK agreeing an acceptable withdrawal deal looks more remote than ever.